Who do you say that I am? This is one of the most difficult questions Jesus asked his disciples, I believe. He wanted to know what they thought of him. And this is the question, very question, each of us is confronted with at some point in our life, in our faith journey as followers of Jesus. Jesus and his disciples were traveling to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, located at the southwestern base of Mount Hermon, near the water source of the Jordan River, about 25 miles north of Lake Galilee. Caesarea Philippi was a city of Greco-Roman Empire, Roman culture. Today, Caesarea Philippi is just an archaeological site and nearly uninhabited. But in Jesus' time, this ancient city flourished with lots of religious activities, as it was the worship center for the Greek god Pan, P-A-N, a half-man and a half-goat deity who often played a flute. Pan was the god of nature and agriculture and was considered to be the guardian of flocks and herds. Why did Jesus take his disciples to such a place of paganism, you might wonder? My guess is that they went there seeking a place of seclusion and solitude. And the Gospel of Luke's version of the story seems to support my speculation. Luke does not give us the name of the place where Jesus and his disciples went or were, but he says that they were praying in private. Actually, it makes sense to say that Jesus and his disciples went to Caesarea Philippi to take a break from their ministry. When you consider how busy they had been, they had been constantly subjected to large crowds of people. Early on in Jesus' ministry, the news of his marvelous teaching and miraculous healing had quickly spread through the region through word of mouth. Remember that was before the time of Facebook and Twitter, but still, that happened. People heard about Jesus and they came out. They came out from many different places to hear his messages and to witness his miracles. And they followed him everywhere he went, to the synagogue, to the lakeside, to the lakeshore, to the mountainside, and to private homes in the city of Jerusalem in the province of Galilee. Sometimes Jesus went off to quiet places seeking to pray alone. Guess what happened? But that did not take long for people to find out where he was. He was like a pop star. According to the Gospel of Mark, sometimes Jesus and his disciples did not even have a chance to eat. Can you believe that? Because they were being bombarded by the crowd. When it happened for the second time, Jesus and his disciples resorted to going away on a boat to a solitary place, so that they could finally eat, and rest for a while. But still, when people saw Jesus and his disciples were leaving, they ran and got to where they sailed off to ahead of them. One time, a big crowd of people stayed with Jesus for 3 days, running out of food in the process. And Jesus, taking pity on them, performed a miracle to feed them. Matthew and Mark, they both say about 4,000 men were fed. So this time, seeking a place where they could have some uninterrupted downtime, away from the constant demands of ministry, of their ministry, Jesus and his disciples traveled farther to the north, deep into the pagan territory. They knew it was a place where their devoted fellow Jews would not want to go near. In the beautiful countryside and in that moment of quietness, Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And upon their answer, he asked them another question point blank, "Who do you say that I am?" I am sure the disciples found the first question to be an easy one to answer. The popularity of Jesus, the new young rabbi in town, kept rising. Everywhere, people were talking about him, how he looked like, what he said, what he did, and where he came from. People were speculating about his identity. Some said, "John the Baptist has been raised from the dead, and that is why miraculous powers are at work in Jesus." Actually, King Herod, who had John the Baptist beheaded, also believed that Jesus was John the Baptist raised from the dead. Certainly, there must have been a physical resemblance between Jesus and John the Baptist. They were cousins after all. And they both boldly preached a message of repentance. Other people believed that Jesus was Elijah, who had come back to life from the past. And they had convincing grounds for such an extraordinary claim. Both Jesus and Elijah had preached convicting sermons and performed incredible miracles. As Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, Elijah also raised a widow's son from the dead. Still, other people believed Jesus was one of the prophets like Moses, Isaiah, Jeremiah or Hosea, the big people in the past, big prophets of God. And the disciples reported to Jesus all these things they had heard from other people. "Who do people say that I am?" This is an easy question. Easy of a question for us to answer, as it was for Jesus' disciples long ago. As there were many different options, different opinions about Jesus in his time, many things have been said about Jesus throughout Christian church history. You can turn to books and find out what well-known theologians have said about Jesus. Or you can simply look it up on Google by typing his name or just saying, "Okay, Google, who is Jesus?" Which is what my 6-year-old grandson does. Or if you want to find out what people today think of Jesus, you can conduct street interviews, or you can turn to one another and ask. Certainly, you will find no shortage of answers to this question: who do people say that I am? But what about the second question? What about this question Jesus asked to his disciples? But what do you say that I am? Basically, it was the same question that Jesus had asked immediately prior, except for one word. Yet with a change of the single word from people to you, Jesus' question became a totally different one. A question that was much more difficult to answer. A question that demanded the disciples to offer their personal statements about Jesus. What do you think the response was like from the disciples? We are told that, unlike the different responses the first question brought forth, this time only Simon Peter, spoke. I wonder if Jesus' second question was met by the disciples' awkward silence first. Traveling with Jesus, they had heard his powerful preaching and dynamic teaching. They had witnessed Jesus performing miracles of healing and exorcism. He had fed a multitude of people twice. With his supernatural power, Jesus had even raised a 12-year-old girl from the dead and calmed a severe storm that had threatened to sink their boat out on the lake. Yet, judging by the silence, the disciples must have not known or must have still not made up their minds about who Jesus was. So I imagine it came as somewhat of a relief when they heard Simon Peter answer, "You are the Messiah." Who do you say that I am? If we are serious about our faith as followers of Jesus, we too need to be confronted with this question that Jesus asked his first followers point blank. And we need to spend some time with this question. Because while it sounds so simple, it's a hard question to give an answer to. Unlike the first question, we cannot turn to other people or books or Google to find an answer, because Jesus demands to know what we think of him, not other people, not my family, not my friends, not the pastors, not the great theologians. The answer has to be in your own words, from your own heart, my friends. And most importantly, your answer has to be lived out in your own life. As Martin Copenhagen says in his book, Jesus is the Question, the question demands not so much the insight of your mind as the allegiance of your life. He further writes, "There is no right answer to that question, though there are probably some wrong answers. But all of the true answers have some real consequences for our lives, I think. Is Jesus a teacher? What would it mean to live as his student? Is Jesus the one who makes peace possible in the world? How can I live into his peace? Is Jesus a man arrested and put to death by the state? What does following him mean for Americans who have the highest incarceration rate of any country in the whole world? What do you say that I am? This is a question Jesus asks each of us today. Then what will be your answer? Whatever your answer may be, it will be subject to change. It will change. Your answer will change as you continue to walk with Christ and grow in your relationship with Him. Peter's story is a prime example. He answered Jesus' question with such conviction, "You are the Messiah." But his answer was only the beginning of his long spiritual journey, his walk with Christ, as he soon realized that his vision of Jesus as the Messiah was not what Jesus had in mind. John Deere writes in his book, The Questions of Jesus, we need to look long and hard into the story of Jesus to begin to comprehend who he really is. Only then can we let our answer transform our lives and lead us in his footsteps toward that same Paschal mystery, the cross and the resurrection. While we journey through this holy week, reading and reflecting on the story of Jesus' suffering and death, may our answers to this question Jesus asked of each and every one of us rise in our hearts. May our answers be lived out as transformed lives. May our answers lead us in his footsteps toward the cross, so that we too may rise with Christ on the day of his resurrection. Thanks be to God. Amen.